You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Oh my God, do we have a lot of stuff today. I said, do you understand how quickly this show is going to go? And he said, yes, I do. Wait, for the entire 11 o'clock hour, RJ Bell will help us break down everything in the NFL as far as spreads, as far as getting your bets in. We'll make it interactive. We'll go on Twitter. We'll go on the phones, right? 10:30, I mean, everyone's favorite segment, Stump Rothenberg. You know, we may do it for just one long segment. We may do it for two. We're undecided. 9:45, we're going to do a tradition unlike any other. The football frenzy at 9:45 this morning. And we have so much to do from now to then and then after then in the 10 o'clock hour. Think about where we are in the world of sports. And I understand that it's a very difficult time. And it was the Virginia Tech game for next weekend. I think it was Virginia Tech, Virginia. I'm not 100% sure. I believe it was Virginia Tech, though. I'll look it up. It's canceled for next week. I guess there's either concern about COVID on Virginia Tech campus, or there is some legitimate COVID on Virginia Tech campus. They will not play that game. And that's a big game, and it's an important game as far as the landscape of college football. Will not be played. Postponed. We'll see if they play it. So we understand where we are as far as the landscape of the world. It's not changed entirely. But we are a sports station, and sports are, I mean, full force right now. We have the NBA postseason, and you saw what you saw last night, we'll get into that, was a sensational Game 7, okay? Mets win DeGrom. Right now, and we have 2 weeks from tomorrow left of the season. He's, what, 4-1, which the record is out the window, with a 1.67 ERA. And I looked at stats earlier today. Hasn't allowed more than two earned runs in any start this season. Hasn't allowed more than two walks in any start this season. He's right there. It's him. It's Darvish. I thought Freed's now hurt. He's out of the picture. The two of those guys going toe-to-toe for the Cy Young. Darvish had a start this week, which was not great. I mean, you look at the numbers, a little bit better for DeGrom. He could win, and I know it's a crazy, weird season, but he has a real chance of going three consecutive Cy Young awards. The Mets are not going to the postseason. We'll get into that in a second as well. Yankees, I know the Yankees fan, thankfully, and I told you this. I've been telling you this for weeks. When they're 500, when they lose 3 out of 4 to the Orioles, when they embarrass themselves, when they blow a 7-4 lead to the Mets, and Britton's bad and Chapman's bad, I said, you will make the playoffs. Oh, we're not that good, and I don't know, and all the injuries, and our starting pitching stinks, and Boone doesn't know what he's doing. You're fine. Now, are you going to win the World Series, which is your ultimate to start the season? I'm not going to say that. Are you going to get in? I've always told you, you will. I promise you, Yankees fans, you will get in. Good night for the Yankees. And it's hard with the Yankees now, because you're kind of in a position where you're expected to win. The expectation is that you're going to win games. And the expectation going into a 4-game set against Baltimore is you're going to win at least 3 of those games. So it's almost a no-win situation. You go out and you drub them last night in 2 games, and Cole was terrific, and Tanaka the same, and they you beat up the Orioles twice. You jump out to early leads, and you just kind of go on cruise control and win both those games. That's expected. No one's going to talk today and be like, oh, I'm so proud of the Yankees. What a job by the Yankees. You know, to go out there and LeMahieu hitting the ball and Cole giving you ace stuff and Tanaka pitching well and blowing them out in 2 games. Nobody's going to give that to you. So it's almost like, you know what? Here, this is where we are. This is where we are. The Yankees are a team where you're not going to get a lot of adulation for winning games you should win, and you're only going to get up for losing games that you should win. And that's where we are. And that's the Yankees baseball right now. And you got to at least, at a minimum, split these next 2 games. I still think catching Toronto, you're right there with them. Mets, you do you a favor last night. So the Yankees sit here, and they're going to get into the postseason. Now, they announced last night the playoff situation. It's going to be whoever has the home field for round one will host all those games. So, you know, it's 50-50 if that'll be the Yankees or not. What you like is you're going to go, and you saw it last night, you're going to go Cole, Tanaka. Games 1 and 2. And you have a good chance of winning both those games. And if not, where do you go? 3? I don't know. Can't be Montgomery. Hasn't been good. You know, can you go Hap? He's been good, but do you trust him in a pivotal game 3? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Paxton is back. Doesn't sound like he's on the horizon for coming back. And, you know, no Judge, no Stanton. And that's obviously a big concern. And you look where you are. Guys, we are 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the end of the regular season. So you say, yeah, they'll be fine. Well, when? I mean, are you going to feel confident if their first at-bats are games 1 and 2 of the postseason? Because it doesn't sound like they're on the verge. I saw something like they may come back next weekend. They better come back next weekend. If both of them don't come back next weekend, it's hard to envision that they'll be playing good baseball. Right? Here's the headline on ESPN right now. I'm looking. Judge Stanton may be back next weekend. And did you see this, by the way? Zach Wheeler. I mean, it's almost like he still thinks he's a member of the Mets. Zach Wheeler rips a fingernail putting on his pants. Quote, "One of those stupid things, I tripped and just lost my balance." He ripped off a fingernail putting on his pants. God must have looked down and been like, well, I got to do this to the Mets, and then realized afterwards, wait, he's not on the Mets anymore. All right, so baseball on the table. We'll get to football in a couple of moments. 800-919-3776. The U.S. Open continues along. We're not going to spend a lot of time, obviously, on that. College football, to say full force would be an overstatement, but college football starts more in earnest, I guess we'll say, today, right? You have North Carolina, and I think they're playing Syracuse. You have some games, right? Clemson and Wake Forest. You have some games of teams you're like, oh, I've heard of both of those teams, Georgia Tech, Florida State. So we have that on the table as well. I want to spend a minute on the NBA, and then we'll dive into the NFL because, I mean, we are here. I mean, it's sensational, isn't it? Ty will tell you what I said to him when I logged on today. We started talking about where we are in the world. And he said, you know, Sundays are very difficult because he works the Jets games, and what I said to him in response to that. NBA, I got to tell you, even in a loss, and we'll talk about the Islanders for a second as well, then it'll open it up to you guys at 800-919-3776. The Raptors-Celtics game last night was a sensational basketball game. And I have to tell you, if you ever have felt like your team won, and I know this is a hollow statement, I realize that. If you've ever felt like your team has won by losing, I would imagine that's what a Raptors fan feels like right now. They lost. You could argue the most clutch player in the NBA. They lost without question, a top three player in the NBA. And the bigger the game, the better he is. You want to say he's not a top three player during the course of a 82-game regular season? Okay. If I said to you, you can pick three guys for one game, he's absolutely one of those three. LeBron is one of those three, and Kawhi is one of those three. And they won a championship last year, and he leaves. And with Van Vliet and Siakam, and you can't forget about Kyle Lowry, who really proved his worth this postseason, they were so good and represented themselves so well. And you see what kind of a head coach Nick Nurse is. They were one shot away last night from coming back from down 2-0, hitting that heroic shot in game three with half a second left and moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals, where I think they would have had a chance to actually win that series against Miami. Point being, yeah, it stinks. Yeah, you're frustrated. But if you're ever going to have that moment when a team of yours loses a huge game, and I know for me to speak about this is really, really strange, but that would be it. This series would be it. But because they represented themselves phenomenally in this series. And I didn't watch all the game, to be honest. We were out at a friend's at a... And now it's difficult to sit outside, by the way, at night, because we're sitting outside, and I don't know if you know my thing. I refuse to put on pants. I'm shorts. I've worn shorts every single day since March. And my oldest, Ben, says to me last night, he goes, well, why are you doing this? I said, well, I just don't want to put on pants until this pandemic is over. And he says, but why? I said, well, I just don't want to. And he says, but that doesn't make sense. I said, it might not, but that's kind of what we're rolling with here. So I won't wear pants. I'm wearing shorts. And we're sitting outside socially distanced at a friend's house having a barbecue last night, and it's freezing. It's frigid. And I was a bit mature where I wasn't running in every 30 seconds and checking at the games and the scores and seeing what's going on. So I didn't see the ball, and Ty was disappointed in me because he's texting me last night about the show. Where are we going to go? What are we going to get into? I said, you know, we'll get into this and this, and we'll do football and RJ Bell and all. We were discussing the show. He says, you watching this game 7 right now? I said, I'm not. And he said, oh, how could you not? What's the matter with you? And then he learned I was at a barbecue. And I think he lightened up a little bit. We'll get his take on that in about 7 minutes. But the point being, got home with 6 minutes to go. We got home at 88-80. Maybe it's 5 minutes to go. 88-80 Celtics. And I was like, oh, man, this kind of stinks. And Toronto comes all the way back, down 2, has a chance at a tying layup. Huge block from Marcus Smart. And then Grant Williams misses both free throws And Jason Tatum, who has proven himself to be an absolute star at a very young age, gets the offensive rebound, and that is basically it. I will say this. The one thing about that game that would frustrate me if I was a Raptors fan was that last legitimate possession from Toronto with about a minute left when they were down two, and they got nothing going, and Van Vliet hoisted a three, which was horrendous, and they never really had another great opportunity to score towards the latter stages of that game. So that's the NBA. Clippers lose last night. They'll win that series, we know. Lakers up 3-1. They'll win that series, we know. And inevitably, we're going to get the series we have been jonesing for. Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals, which will be sensational. Spend a minute on the hockey. We'll get into the football on the other side. And that is, you know, I can't stand. With my buddy last night, having the barbecue. He's from Long Island. I'm from Long Island. And he's like, oh, we're up 3-1. Meaning we, the Islanders. I said, that's not we. Don't lump me in your we. Don't put me involving in your we. He goes, how can you not? You're a New York guy. How can you not root for the Islanders? I don't need to go through the laws of what makes it allowable or not. I will not root for the Islanders. I will never root for the Islanders. If my kids played and they don't skate, so I think it's unlikely. But if they played for the Islanders, it would be difficult for me to root for the Islanders. I'm not a fan of that team. That being said, that's one resilient bunch. Up 3-1. Blow the lead, tied at 3, 4 minutes to go, you get the game winner, and then the clincher, and in a what has got to be deemed a must win, the Islanders do win and cut that series deficit to 2-1. So it's still daunting what you have to do, right? I mean, you have to win 3 of the next 4 games against arguably the best team in the NHL, but I'm going to be honest with you right now. To say that I'm not a little bit nervous about where the Islanders play would terrify me. Absolutely terrify me. Because Dallas, could they beat Dallas? They could. So maybe potentially my last line of defense from keeping the Islanders on the outside of winning a cup. And I'm telling you, if you said to me right now, and this is the 6 sadistic ways that I operate, Ty. If you said to me right now, the Islanders win the cup, and you get $1,000. Or the Islanders lose this series, and you have to pay $1,000. I would pay $1,000 to make sure the Islanders did not win the cup. Unequivocally, absolutely. But again, you have to give them credit. He's a great coach. They're scoring goals, right? I mean, he put up 5 goals last night. So you're scoring. Your power play's got to work. You can't give them the extra power play because they're really, really lethal on a Tampa. And you're right on that series. Game 4 tomorrow, I believe 3 o'clock, a game you can hear on 10:50 a.m. because the Jets are on at 1, pregame at 11. And that's where we'll kind of launch off with the show, the start of the NFL season. We had a game on Thursday. We have a full slate tomorrow. It's weird. It's clunky. It's strange. It's still football. When I was watching the game on Thursday, as odd and strange and weird and no fans and whatever the case might have been, it's still football. It's comforting, and it makes you feel really good that it's back. And guys, it is back.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
So here's the lineup tomorrow. Anita Mark says her fantasy hour. From 7 to 8. And then from 8 to 11, it's the same show, but better. You say, explain. Anita and Canty from 8 to 11, and they've, on their way to the show, stopped and pulled over and picked up a little passenger. Actually, he was a big passenger. Mike Tenenbaum will join them for this year. So that's 8 to 11 on Sunday mornings. And then 11 to 1 tomorrow, the Jets pregame show with the great Dan Grasso. And then at 1 o'clock, guys, from up in Orchard Park, New York, Bills, Jets, it all gets started. I want to get into that game. But before we get into that game, as we typically do in segment 2 on the Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN, we bid a good morning to our dear friend, producer, confidant, all those things, the great Ty D. Butler. Good morning, Ty.
Yo, I am radiating and just emanating energy this morning. I feel great.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because upon your first introductory hello, it sounded very benign and almost soft to me.
Listen.
Like you're like, hey, I'm radiating energy.
This
today.
Morning? Like before the show or just
no,
now?
No, before the show, I felt like you had it, but when you just came on and
did
that.
I got to save it. I got to save it for the show.
When you just came on and did that, you're like, hey, guys in the New York area, I'm radiating energy today. It didn't feel like
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, listen, there is no better way to spend my Saturday morning, the Saturday before Football Sunday, week one, than with Dave Rothenberg himself. Mr. Football at this. We can change your nickname to Mr. Football.
Mr.
Can we
Football?
Do that? At the station. Dave Rothenberg is Mr. Football. I think we should make that happen.
Mr. Football? I'd like that.
Yes.
Maybe I should legally change my name to, you know, Dave Rothenberg, Mr. Football. What did I say to you before? When you were like, oh, God, Sundays are so difficult and I have to work the Jets game. It's a lot going on and a lot of moving pieces. And I said something, you're like, that's a great line. What did I say?
It was fantastic. You said if NFL Sundays were a person, I would marry her.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's just an all-time great line.
If NFL Sundays were a person, I would marry her.
That's going on your obituary, by the way. So if the wifey is listening, take some notes.
You know, we've had this conversation. We'll get to the Jets in a second of what will be said in my obituary, you know, like or in the paper. And I want the Giants mentioned, and Sherry thinks it's inappropriate.
No, I don't think it's inappropriate.
No. It's not like I wanted to say huge Giants fan, loved Lawrence Taylor, you know, February 4th, 1959 or whatever was his date of birth, but went to UNC 63248. I'm not looking for that in my obituary. I don't want it to be like right out of the gate with that stuff. I want it to say, you know, loving husband, cherished father of Ben and Alex, and, you know, hopefully grandfather and all those things. But at some point later on, I'd like to say devoted Giants fan.
And then further down below, watch them go a decade without a playoff win. Listen.
Yeah, you know what's great? You know what's interesting about you?
What's that?
You'd think you're a Patriots fan. Like the way you have this vim and vigor and, oh, you've gone a decade. Your team stinks.
I mean, but this has nothing.
You're a Jets fan.
Has nothing to
your
do with
my team.
Your team
hasn't gone to the playoffs in a decade. You have the audacity to sit here and take idle shots at me and my team?
And this is a rule of thumb.
It's embarrassing for
anyone out there. I always feel like you know you've won the argument when they start bringing up your team. Like if you're talking about the Giants and they bring up you're a Jets fan before they actually debate what you're saying, I think you've won the argument.
I don't think you've forget about winning the argument. I think the argument is 94 miles away and you can't even see it.
Why are
like,
we
that's
arguing
how far
already?
You are from winning the argument. You're a Jets fan. I'm a Giants fan. Enough said. Okay. It doesn't like all you'd have to say if you went to like small claims court is be like, "Judge, I'm a Giants fan. He's a Jets fan. Can we have your ruling, please?" And he'd be like, "To the Giants fan goes the winnings." Like, it's not even a conversation.
All right, let's make a bet. Let's make a bet. Who has the better season? I'll take the Jets. You take the Giants. Put your money where that big mouth
now,
of yours is.
Here's the issue. Herein lies the issue.
I'm the Giants.
No, herein lies the issue.
6-10.
Now what you're going to... Shush for a second. Okay. I know you went to the Newhouse School of Communications. We all do. Can I get a word in edgewise, please? And that is... You're going to put me in a position where I need to outwardly root against the Jets. And I would prefer not to be in that position. Why can't we just, let's just see where the chips fall. And you're telling me that if the Jets go 6-10 and the Giants go 5-11, you'll feel like, oh boy, we had a better season than them?
No, I don't necessarily
think that's the case.
No. Let's have some fun on the show. It gives us something to root for. It gives us some content every single week. And you take your Giants, I take the Jets. Whoever has the better record will have some sort of payout. Even though, by the way,
the
MVP, you know, I took Giannis, you took Harden. 3 years later, I still haven't gotten my lunch.
All right, we're going to get to the calls in 30 seconds. Okay.
Let's do it, though.
That was late summer of last year. Up since we've been in a pandemic since March where I almost haven't left the house. So I think it's very unfair because we had that plan. All right, we'll discuss it later during the course of the show where we're going to go here. Let's go to the calls now. 800-919-3776. You're antagonistic this morning, by the way, Ty. Let's start with our dear friend, the great Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Football. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Ira, I'm not exaggerating. I irrationally love football Sundays. Irrationally.
No, I know. I know you well enough. And you know, before I get to the Jet Bill game, I just want to thank you, the staff over there, everybody, especially your morning show. It definitely got me through from March until today, and I appreciate it. It was a really tough for you guys to come up with stuff to talk about, but you guys did a great job.
Well, It matters a lot, and a lot of people have said that. And, you know, it's like we think we do radio, and that is what we do. But you sometimes forget the connection you make, and we've heard a lot of that, and it's really nice. And I it doesn't get old, and I appreciate it.
That's great. Well, tomorrow, okay, listen, we've talked Jets nauseam over the summer with the school position players, no pass rush, corners. Guess what? Tomorrow's kickoff.
Yep.
You have hope. You go up there. The Bills are the better team. They got 22 starters returning. I expect the Bills to win. But you know what? If the weather forecast is right, it looks like it's going to be a nasty, windy, rainy day up there, which will probably make it a ground game, control type of game. Don't turn over the football, which actually, if the Jets have any advantage, that may be their advantage. I'm just afraid if it comes down to a field goal, I still, you know, I think they should have improved with Ficken, but they're rolling the dice with him. We'll see. I don't expect a win. Just go up there. Give me a competitive game. Let me see Donald, control the team.
Yep, I know what we're looking for. Ira, let me ask you this. We start the season tomorrow. What? And I know sometimes it's difficult because you want to see how the team plays, but what, realistically, where are you with the number of wins that you need and would like to see this year? If I give you a 6-10, and Darnold looks good for the bulk of the season, are you on board with that?
Fax me over the papers. I'll sign the contract right now. That's exactly what I'm looking for, 100%. A couple of young players stepping up. You know, maybe Mims will finally get on the field at some point.
Sounds like I don't think he has yet, but it sounds like he's going to go on IR.
Yeah, I think he's going to be out. And you know what? Chris Hogan may be the perfect remedy. I know he was on with Michael Kay yesterday. Hogan may turn into the Wayne Corbett type of player for the Jets because you have Crowder. You hope Perriman could kind of do what he did with the Bucs last year and followed into this year. But if you have a go-to guy like Hogan, and you have Herden and you have Ryan Griffin, you know what? It's enough for a really good quarterback to play well, and that's what you want from Donald.
Ira, I respect most of what you say, and I think you're a really smart Jets fan. I think you are deluding yourself when you sit here and you're talking about, you know, you're excited about Hogan and, you know, if Mims gets healthy and Crowder and Griffin and Herndon. These, I'm sorry, Ira, these, none of the guys that you just mentioned, maybe outside of Herndon, which we've seen very little of, are plus players. They're not.
No, I get it, but the better quarterbacks will elevate their game with what they got to work with.
But here's my issue with the Jets. He shouldn't have to. He's year three. There's no way he should be coming to the table with this as his skill position players. I'm sorry, Ira, there's not.
No,
and I think
McKagan
failed him, and I think Joe Douglas failed him in that aspect.
I totally agree with you, but there's nothing you can do about it right now. It is what it is, but I can't make excuses for Donald anymore. You know, if he goes out, if the team goes 5-11 and Donald is 23 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, I'm not gonna blame it on the skill position players. I can't do that anymore.
Well, I appreciate the phone call. I hope you enjoy the game and have a great weekend. But I don't know. I think that the Jets brass has let him down in a lot of aspects. I really do. It's his third year. His third season. And he's going into it with Crowder. And you say, well, you know, Hogan's going to do. Hogan is, I don't even know if he's mediocre. Hogan was available for anybody to sign. Hogan was fine on New England. Good in spots. Non-existent in Carolina. And free for the world to sign. So I don't know. I think the Jets have really done him a disservice. And I understand that, you know, rubber meets the road, and he's got to have a good season. My point is, I don't think they've done any favors for him. The offensive line should be better. Might take a while, should be better this year and moving forward. But come on. That's the receiving core that they gave you? And they drafted one receiver? They had all those picks, and they drafted one receiver? I don't think it's the right thing to do. I don't.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
And away we go. 800-919-3776. Ty, if they call and they're like, oh, Dave, love the show. Big fan, 98.7, such a great. What happens? Thank you. All right, get right to it. You walk in, you put your money on the counter, you order your soup, you get your soup, you don't ask for bread, you don't ask for crackers, you don't ask for a spoon, you walk out. That's it. In, order, out. Ty, will you be participating in the frenzy today?
Oh, of course.
Oh, lovely.
You know I'm self-serving.
All right, here we go. James in Queens, lead us off. You're on the frenzy, James.
Are the Giants a playoff team this season?
No, they are not. I think you'll see improvement. I wouldn't be surprised if they were a 7-win team, but I cannot fathom the Giants going to the postseason this year. Danny, Long Island. Good start, by the way. Danny, you're on the frenzy.
Here we go. Let's go. How many sacks is T.J. Watt going to have? My Pittsburgh Steelers demolished that pitiful Giant offensive line.
Oh, stay. See, you're ruining it, Danny. You're ruining the frenzy. People like you with a big mouth who have so much to say just come on and start blathering on a ruin a beautiful frenzy. Jeff and Patchogue. Jeff, you're on the frenzy.
If the Giants have Barkley, Shepard, Slayton, Tate, and Ingram with Jones all year healthy, do they make the playoffs?
No, I don't see the Giants as a team good enough to make the postseason. I don't. I think they'll take steps in the right direction. Again, guys, you're starting a rookie left tackle. A rookie left tackle. Do you really think that right off the bat that they're going to be a team that is going to go out and beat the Steelers and the Niners? And again, if Jones improves and there's a real chemistry and the coach has, a good feel of this team, and you're in games and you're competitive, of course you want to make the playoffs. But I really don't think it's the be-all, end-all. I think if the Giants win 7 games and are competitive and they're heading in the right direction, I really believe you'll feel good about this team. I really do. And you're right. You sit here and you list all the weapons, Ingram and Shepard and Tate and Jones and Barkley and Slayton. They have real weapons. The odds of those guys all staying healthy all year long is very unrealistic. Mike in Jersey. Mike, frenzy, go.
Who has a better season statistically, Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones, and I'll tell you why. Because he's got a lot more weapons, like we've talked about on both sides for much of the morning. I mean, really, first of all, I think that if you flip the roles and you put Darnold on the Giants with that team, he'd be the one that has the better weapons. And that's my point. That's what I was saying with Ira. And he says, well, you know, it's enough of the excuses. I understand it's enough of the excuses. It's time, though, to give this guy. I mean, your best receiver is Jamison Crowder, who's a great 3 and probably a good 2. But he's the best you have? Or Breshad Perriman? It's not okay. Raymond, Brooklyn, frenzy, go.
Do you think Le'Veon Bell gets at least between 20 to 25 touches a game?
Yes. I think he will average, including receptions, 20 to 25 touches a game. Although, yeah, you know what? I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure. Let me think about this again, because he loves Frank Gore. So if Gore gets 12 touches a game, is it realistic to think that he's going to get 18 touches and 4 catches? I'm not sure. I'd say it's 50-50. And you know what? He loves Frank Gore. And I've said this last week, and I stand by this. I don't know how good Lev Bell is. He might be the best of what they have. I don't know that he's that same running back. Because even though he was misused last year, he didn't give you a ton of confidence in the way he played. Like, he looked like he had lost a step. And I'm interested to see if it looks like that this year as well. Nick Hoboken, you're on the frenzy.
Tampa, New Orleans. Who, why, which QB has more pressure, and which team wins that division?
All right. Which QB has more pressure? They both have a lot of pressure. A ton. I will say that I think Breeze has more pressure for a couple reasons. A, I think this is it. I think this is the last season he plays in the NFL. B, he's won once. I think they're better. I think, and I understand this allure as far as Tampa's concerned and Brady and the weapons that they have, but I mean, the Saints are a better team top to bottom right now than Tampa is. And also, Tampa's unknown. Yeah, we're excited about what Brady can do, and Evans is already hurt with that hamstring, and Chris Godwin, and they signed Leonard Fournette, and they have, you know, O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, and, you know, receivers all over the place. I get that, and it's exciting. But we haven't seen them play well yet. We haven't. And we don't know what Brady, and we expect that he'll be good. We don't know what he's going to look like in that Arian system. We know what the Saints are. We know how good they are. We know how dominant they can be. They add Emmanuel Sanders. It's a very talented team. So More pressure, more expectation, better team. I think the Saints. But Brady has pressure. And I'll tell you what, the better New England does, the more pressure on Tom Brady. The better that Cam Newton does under Bill Belichick, and the more games New England wins, the more pressure then on Tom Brady. Could you imagine if New England goes 11-5, wins this division, and winds up with the 3 seed with a new quarterback and many guys opting out? Wouldn't be a great look for Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's on the Mount Rushmore regardless. But now you're talking about the greatest coach quarterback combos, the greatest coach ever, the greatest, like, we're talking about, you know, not even upper echelon, the all the way at the top floor, the penthouse of who's better, and that will matter. It will. And the flip side of it, if Tom Brady and the Bucs go 12-4 and Belichick goes 8-8 and struggles and doesn't go to the postseason, then Tom Brady will get the win as far as that's concerned. Anthony and Wayne. Anthony, you're on the frenzy next, my friend.
Do you think Lamar Jackson can beat his rushing record this year, or do they dial back the rushing plays they have for him?
I think he can. I think he's sensational. I really do. And I didn't think his game translated really well to the NFL. He's special. He really is. He's a special player. He's so fast. He's dynamic. He can take it to the house on any given play. He's sensational. I mean, there's no two ways about it. So there's nothing at this point that I would say he's incapable of doing. I would tell you this. He better start to do it now. Like 12-4, 13-3, 15-1, undefeated. It doesn't matter anymore. We're at the point where if Lamar Jackson does not produce and win in the postseason, all of the MVPs and the accolades and the records and the stats and the and he's this and he runs for 1500 yards and he does that, it doesn't matter anymore. Year three, you lost at home to the Chargers, which was a loss that was not great. You lost at home to the Titans, which is a horrendous loss when you're the one seed at home. It's time to win playoff games, not a game, games. Ty, you want to play?
All right, David. Yesterday,
all right, Ty.
Not yesterday, Thursday night, the Chiefs got off to a quick start on the season. They're 1-0. If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it will be because they lost to this team.
You could fill in the blank right there. The Kansas City Chiefs will have lost to the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are the team. I think you can almost argue the only team that can stand in the way of the Kansas City Chiefs. Defensively, they're good. Offensively, they're electric. You could argue the best or the second best or the third best quarterback in all the NFL. If it goes through Baltimore, it's another, not the typical advantage probably, but another advantage. That's the team. Those are your two teams. And then it's everybody else. It's Tennessee. It's New England. It's Indianapolis. It's Pittsburgh. It's everybody else. Those are your two teams in the AFC. We'll do one more. Joey in the car. Joey, cap off a beautiful frenzy.
All right, I want to know that if Todd Gurley stays healthy, will the Atlanta Falcons make the playoffs, and will they win on Sunday against the Seahawks?
I don't necessarily, next to the call, think that his health is a direct correlation to whether they win tomorrow against Seattle. If he's healthy for the year, yeah, I give them a good chance. But, I mean, Ito Smith is fine. I don't think it's a tremendous drop-off. Todd Gurley has gone from here way down to here. He's just not the same running back anymore. He's just not. He had a precipitous drop. I don't look at him as the ultimate, you know, indicator of what the Atlanta Falcons, in fact, are. All right, a beautiful frenzy. Let's get back to the NFL. Blowing it dead. You would agree, Ty. But that was a gorgeous frenzy, right?
That was fantastic. You are in regular season, mid-season form, my friend.
Like, you would have thought if you just tuned in there, heard the questions, heard the responses, heard the callers, you would have thought we're week 8.
I'd say week 12.
That becomes sad. Do you have that line of demarcation? I don't know if you have this, where you're like, oh, no. There's only 4 weeks left. Oh, no. We're week 13. Oh no. Like, I have that. Like, around week 11, I'm like, oh, it's going so quickly. Don't go so quickly. Do you have that?
I will tell you that because of the certain circumstances, I do not have that.
Because you have to work on football Sundays.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
You make it sound like you're, you know, cleaning an outhouse.
I mean, but listen.
Oh, you work with the great Bob with shoes in.
Oh, it's fancy. I love Bob. I mean Marty's great.
Sensational, scintillating Marty Lyons.
Dan Grasso.
You work with Dan Grasso, and you have the privilege of working with one of my favorites, R.J. Santillo. How dare you make it sound like work?
R.J.'s number one on that list, but you forgot to include Greg Butler. They're all great, but I'm going to be honest. I mean, listen, the experience would be enhanced if you got to enjoy a football Sunday and just watch all the games.
But you're in a studio where you should still be able to watch the games.
Yeah, but it's different.
I don't know.
You would not want to watch a Giants football game here in the studio.
No.
Exactly.
And I had to do it, and I absolutely hate it. If I was running the board, do you run the board or do you produce it?
No, I run the board.
Okay. If I was running the board, it'd be like, Bushu's going to be like, and you're listening to the Jets Radio Network on 98.7 ESPN and expecting commercial, and I would just be watching the Giants game.
10 seconds of silence.
10 seconds. Forget it. You'd have them, hot mics and get in trouble. It'd be a disaster.
Yeah. But it's fine. I mean, it's good. I'm employed. I'm blessed. I'm happy.
You
to
are
do
blessed.
Yes.
I you count your blessings.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can try. I don't know the success you'll have. Many have tried and failed. Some have succeeded. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the law offices of the great, the magistrate, really, Andrew M. Cohen. Ty, I don't know why, but I feel a little anxious today. I feel a little nervous when it comes to the segment right now.
16-4 in your last 2 weeks?
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel a little...
I think the pressure's getting to you.
It might be. This could be like a game seven, and I'm just tensing up a little bit. I'm not sure what's happening, but we'll see if I'm able to succeed or not in a pivotal Stump Rothenberg. Now, as typical, you claim you have a gem for the segment, yes?
Absolute NFL gem like you would not believe.
Really? Early tallies. Ty put up the poll. I retweeted. You can find us on Twitter at Ty D. Butler, at Rothenberg ESPN. He says, disagreement with Rothenberg ESPN as per usual. Semicolon. What would you rather have for breakfast? Spinach wrap, bagel. Early tallies. Very, very early. It is a runaway, a bloodbath, as some would say. 92% to 8%.
It's still early. It's still
very early. Agreed. But you can't disagree. Early results, bloodbath right now.
Yes, it's still early. Polls haven't closed yet.
73 votes, 89% to 11%. In favor of the wonderful.
I just have to win those swing states, my friend, and I'll be all right.
You're going to have to win lots of those. The Minnesotas, the Floridas, you're going to have to win all of those. All right. Deep breath, nerves to the side. Jeff in Westchester. Jeff, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Love the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
We're going men's college hockey.
Oh God.
The only undefeated, untied national champion in Division One, in the modern era, so say from 1960 on, the year and the team. All right, just give me the team.
I believe it was Cornell.
Give him the bell. You win.
Give him the bell. Cornell did it, and I don't think the year's not necessary. Ty, right?
No, it's not necessary. It's only a one.
I think it was like 70. Maybe 71, but somewhere in that range. That's a good answer by me. That's a terrific job, right? You'd agree?
It's impressive. 1969-1970 season.
All right. So there you go.
So there you have it.
All right, take a deep breath. We're 1-0. Let's go to Joe in Jersey City. Joe, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, Joe. How are you?
I'm good today. It's a sports reality TV question.
Oh, God.
It's a good one.
All right.
All right. Who's the first athlete to appear on Dancing with the Stars?
All right. So who's been on that show? Emmett Smith has been on it. Jerry Rice has been on it. Lawrence Taylor was on it, too. Evander Holyfield was on it.
Evander Holyfield, you got it. He was the first one in 2005.
Well, I don't know that I really got it because I was working through. But I'll take the date.
That is what you call an undisciplined caller.
But can you blame me for that?
I can't blame you, but I blame him for it. Okay, so we'll give you the.
That's a terrible job,
by the caller.
I was running through the guys I knew were on it. I would have gotten to an answer. He prematurely said, "You got it." He was very excited, and that's it.
Would you have guessed that answer? Be honest. Moment of truth.
I don't know. I would say it would have been 50-50. Because okay. I know Lawrence Taylor wasn't the first one, so I wouldn't have gone with him. Emmett, I think Emmett won. I probably wouldn't have gone with him. I might have. But I can't guarantee you that. But I'm going to take the win. And it's not my fault that he gave me the early answer.
He got so excited, he started throwing up all over himself.
Listen, people lose their composure when it comes to this segment. Fran, the great Fran in Massapequa, who loves this segment, this show. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Dave, I'm doing great. You guys are the best. Toasted bagel. And if there is ever a phrase for a person doing the greatest segment on ESPN or any radio, it's you the man. It's that simple.
Oh, thank you, Fran. What's your question
more to
today?
I tried to dig deep. You're as tough as can be. So
is this an impossible question for me?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a question, but I mean, you've gotten 90% of the ones I've given you. So what I'm saying is this. If you don't get it, I'll bring you guys bagels next week.
We don't need your bagels. We appreciate it, though. Go ahead.
There are only two states in the United States that have yet to send a team to the NCAA. What are they?
All right, and I have to name them both?
That's up to Ty.
Just give me one. Just give me one.
No, when you're a pro like him, you got to. I mean, if you give me one, that's good. But you got to give me two because you're that good.
The rule of the segment is one part answer. So I will allow one answer.
I said, let's go to Ty. You the man.
All right.
I'm sorry, Dave's the man. You're the second man.
Thank you.
The segment is off the hook too. By the way.
I mean, it's not Hawaii, because Hawaii has gone to the tournament. Vermont has gone to the tournament. Obviously, it's not. I mean, it's not New York. It's not Minnesota. It's not Florida. Not Texas. Not California. Oregon, Washington. It's gonna. So here's what's coming to mind: Maine and Alaska are the two that I'm thinking of. I'm gonna say Alaska will be my answer.
I'm going to drive my car into a friggin' pole. You are absolutely amazing. You got both of them. I mean,
is it Maine and Alaska?
Yeah, it's Maine and Alaska. And I don't know where I'm going to get a trivia question. I give you some tough ones. You are absolutely a mountain.
Fran, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to repeat after me. Dave Rothenberg is an absolute genius. Would you say that?
Dave Rothenberg is an absolute genius. You make other guys on these shows on ESPN look like little kids, elementary kids.
Children, babies, if you would. All right, Fran, thanks for the call. Ty, that was well done by me, yes?
The fact that he allowed you to do what you just did is embarrassing.
What did I do?
Dave Rothenberg is a mountain? Lord have mercy.
He means like I'm, you know what, I'm not going to let you get in my head.
And
okay.
He wants it to reward you for losing. He said if you don't get the question correct, he'll bring us bagels. How are you trying to reward Dave for not getting the question correct?
Just, you know, get it, go away. Be a kind individual for a moment.
You treated him so disrespectfully, like
three,
he's a toy. Repeat this after
three,
me.
Three
How
and
dare
oh.
you?
3-0.
Jesus
Steve
Christ.
In Brooklyn, the great Steve in Brooklyn. You're up next on Stump Rothenberg.
First football weekend, so we'll go with football, Dave.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers has thrown 364 career touchdown passes, but just one to a former first-round pick. Who is that player?
It's not Alan Lazard, I can tell you that. It's not Cobb. It's Jimmy Graham, I don't... Well, it's only one, so it would be Jimmy Graham. Is Mercedes Lewis a first-round pick? him. It's not Davante Adams. God. It's not, what was his name? Jordy Nelson was not a first round. I think it's Mercedes Lewis. Stress is through the roof. I'm going to go with him, the tight end, Mercedes Lewis.
You got it.
Mercedes. I got it. I got it, Ty. That's 4-0.
4-0.
Ty, I mean, you see what's happening.
I'm a little annoyed by this.
You know what? You're dead to me for the moment. Kathy in Yorktown, who couldn't be more alive to me. Kathy, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Dave. I am on the high of the Mets roller coaster. Just bracing for that steep drop that I know is going to be happening.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Kathy. I looked, because I've tried to put them to the side for now. I looked at their remaining schedule. We're not going to the playoffs. They got Atlanta. They got Tampa. They have Philly. They're not going to the playoffs. I appreciate your love with them, and we hope that Steve Cohen is the guy, and it sounds like he will be, and it'll be better in the future. They're not going to the postseason. But we're having a great time with Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead, Kathy. What do you got?
We are, and I am rolling with a Mets question today.
Okay.
So, in 1986, spring training, there was an accident, as only the Mets can do.
Mookie Wilson
was hit in the eye with the ball, severely injured, out till May. Who threw the ball in his eye?
I think it was. Oh, God. I remember it. They were like running from first to second. And I think Strawberry came over and was like comforting him. Oh, God. Who threw the ball? I don't know that I. I think it was a rundown, and they were doing like a rundown drill in between first and second. It was either Hernandez or Santana, I think. Ty, do you know this?
I do.
You know it?
I do.
Good for you. You don't want to help me here, do you?
Of course not. You've got enough help. The second
caller.
I think
Strawberry comforted him. I don't remember if he was going to first or to second. Going to first would be Santana. All right, I'm down between Santana and Keith Hernandez. I'm going to go with Rafael Santana, final answer.
And you got it.
Yes. Ty, I mean, we're 5-0. We're scalding hot right now.
You started 5-0 2 weeks ago. And then
you know what? I don't care if I finish at 5-7. I've started 5-0 for, the third consecutive week. I have people calling saying, Dave Rothenberg is a genius. Do you see the groundswell of what's happening here?
Love, friend, but I mean, the idea that you should call and say Dave Rothenberg is a mountain, that's something my wife has said about me. I don't think you should be saying that about Dave.
Listen, I don't appreciate your negative connotations towards the great Fran and Massapequa.
I love Fran. Fran's
all right,
great.
Here's what we're going to do. Do you want to take one more break or break and then come back and hammer home some more?
I say we take one more, then we break.
All right, Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. You know, I got a good baseball one, but, you know, while I was on hold, there's a really good presidential trivia one I can ask you, so you have your choice. Good baseball or good presidential trivia?
I'll take the baseball.
Okay. Youngest player ever to win 3 league MVPs.
Could it be Mantle? Ted Williams, Johnny Bench. All right, I don't think it was Mantle. The Matt Kemp? No, I don't think he went. Mattingly, but he. I don't think he was the guy. Johnny Bench was young. Hal Newhouser also, but I don't know that Hal Newhouser won 3, but I know he's the answer of the pitcher that won back to back MVPs.
And he won back to back, you're right.
But I don't know that he won 3. Gehrig, I know also, but he was not young. Canseco, I believe, also did. Clemens was young. Now, Fred Lynn also did it, but he did it as a rookie. But I don't think he won more than one. I think it's Johnny Bench for some reason. Cal Ripken did it too. It is a nice question. I'm going to be frustrated if I get this wrong because I feel like I have a beat on this, but I'm going to say Johnny Bench.
No, Dave, and I'll tell you this much. Mike Trout just became the second youngest to do it by 2 months, but still the record holder, Stan the Man Musial, youngest guy ever to do it.
All right, three so MVPs, three MVPs, youngest 29. One, Stan. All right, so I got it wrong. We continue with Stump Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN. Last we left you off in the first half. It's like when the continuation of an episode of a TV show. 5-1, first five correct, missed the last question, youngest player in Major League Baseball to win three MVPs. Ty, you have more callers screened, I know. Do you feel like these are good questions?
No, I feel like they're awful questions.
You know what? I don't appreciate that tone. I'm asking you a straight-up question.
I don't appreciate the
You've
question.
You've been known in the past to put on people who are probably not worthy of getting
it.
On.
You
are
know
these
that's
good,
not
solid
true.
Questions?
You know that's not true. That's fake news, buddy. Only the elite of the elite get on.
Okay.
I've had to turn people away.
Have you?
Yeah.
How many people would you say today you've said, I'm sorry, I can't put you on like this?
Well, it depends on... So here's the thing. Sometimes you tell them that it's a good question and then you just leave them on hold. Other times you just say, yeah, I don't even like it.
Really?
And maybe that's a too
so
much
So are there level like,
the
it's a good question, I'm going to leave you on hold, and then you don't take the call. Is that at least making the cut over, I'm sorry, we just, this awful goodbye?
No, it's probably on the same.
It's the same par.
Same level, yeah.
All right, 5-1. Now you say you have a question as well, right?
I do.
All right, we'll get to yours in a moment. Let's go to Zach and Butler. Zach, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, yeah, Dave. What is the biggest city in the U.S. that does not have a team in one of the four major sports leagues?
I think it's Austin.
That's it. Austin, yeah. Texas.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. That's if you're keeping score at home, 6-1, Ty. 6-1.
I'm not happy about that either. That wasn't you saying final answer.
But I was pretty confident.
When you say you think it...
Well, you know what? I go with my initial thought, and then I have to try to brainstorm for a minute. You can't blame me.
It's not your fault. It's
all right.
Just, if you've been listening to the segment, you know the rules. You know you need to be disciplined because Dave's going to use any...
They get excited. They hear me say the answer, and they just go, yes, Dave, yes.
I think,
genius.
Listen,
beautiful.
You've been great, but I got to say, this segment, this performance is going to have an asterisk.
Maybe it's on the screener,
and
who should tell them more appropriately if he's brainstorming and he walks by the answer. Don't just blurt out that he's correct. Bob in the car. Bob, you're up next on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good, Bob.
Baseball question for you. Most home runs in one stadium or park?
That's a nice question. So this is by one individual player, right? Or this is just the most home runs ever hit in a stadium?
No, one player in one park or stadium.
That's a good question. Could it be Babe Ruth? Could it be Bonds? A good question. It's not going to be Colorado. Could it be Wrigley Field? I mean, it's got to be a field that's been around. Could be Wrigley Field. Could be Ernie Banks. Is it Fenway? It's got to be like a long time stadium. I'm thinking Mantle. I'm thinking Williams. Maybe Sosa or Banks. I'm gonna go with Sammy Sosa.
No, he bounced around a little bit. It's you want the answer?
Yeah.
Mel Ott, 323 in the Polo Grounds.
Mel Ott. Polo Grounds. Okay. All right, so that's 6-2, I believe. You want to take one more, Ty?
Yes, we have time for just one more.
All right, let's go to Dwayne in Jersey. Dwayne, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg. All right, he says no. Let's go to Mark in Oak Ridge. Mark, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Can I say one thing about one thing you said before I get to my question?
Probably not, but go ahead.
Well, it's about the leg thing. You know, I've always said when I see a pretty girl, you have nice legs. And also, just getting back to me, see, I got one leg that was injured, so one leg looks average and the other leg looks weird. So
all right, listen, I understand it's not the same for everyone. I'm glad you pushed me to this goal here, Ty. It's not that it's the same for everyone, but I would say 99% of the people, if you've seen one leg, the other is pretty similar to that. What's your question, Mark?
Okay. The question is, who is the only player to win Rookie of the Year, this is Major League Baseball, and hit two triples in his first game?
Oh, my God. And this is the question you wanted me to go with, Ty, huh? The guy hit two triples in his first ever game?
Yes. First major league game, obviously. And he ended up winning Rookie of the Year.
I mean, I have no idea. I'm going to guess, because he had such a great year, he won MVP and Rookie of the Year, and I know it's not right, but I'm going to say Fred Lynn.
Sorry. It was Willie McCovey. Somebody would never hit with that. You would never think hit two triples.
All right. That buzzer you heard was on you, Ty, is what it was. I tried to take another caller. It wasn't there. I took this caller. It was brutal. He's getting into leg conversation. That is on you. We finished, I believe, at 6-3, which, again, not a bad way to spend a Saturday on Stump Rothenberg. The top of the 10 o'clock hour. You'd have no way of knowing that because Ty didn't play like you're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show or little snippets from hour one or anything like that. We just jump right into it.
I love how you just take shots at me.
Nobody would have any idea.
You claim you love me and you adore me and appreciate me, and then you just take shots at me.
Well, listen, I do appreciate you.
When you're the only person in studio handling these shows.
Listen, I don't need a recap of hour one. And you do those beautiful recaps where it's me saying, you know, poignant, brilliant
stuff
in the prior hour. I don't need that. But at least, like, to signify it's the top of the hour where the guy says, you're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show at 98.7.
I think that's overrated. The rejoins are perfect.
I think it's underrated.
The montages are perfect. But when we do a football frenzy at 9:45, it's difficult.
I'm not blaming you for that.
If I can get some help in studio.
The blame I have for you is that you're not giving me that sounder of, okay, let's signify it's the start of the 10 o'clock. You're in your car. You have your cup of coffee. You're driving the kid, you know, all over the place right now. What time? Oh, it's the sounder at the top of the hour. Okay, it must be 10 o'clock.
I think people know.
I don't know. I think they do.
You've been listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show for years. You know who's on the air at 10 o'clock.
It's a staple of your Saturday mornings at this point.
It is. I mean,
staple.
It's a cup of coffee and Dave Rothenberg.
A coffee, a bagel, toasted with a little bit of butter. You're a butter or cream cheese guy?
No, I am neither. I'm a spinach wrap with eggs and turkey sausages.
Come on. What is the matter with you?
What do you mean?
Spinach wrap?
Yes, that's what I eat every morning. I don't have it.
Like a whole wheat spinach wrap?
It's not whole wheat. It's spinach.
No, but like on the wrap. It's the spinach, like the wrap is made of spinach?
Yes, correct.
Ugh.
It's great.
So I offer you, you can have a toasted bagel with butter, a toasted bagel with cream cheese, and you'd go a spinach wrap?
Oh, 10 times out of 10.
Oh.
I wouldn't even consider it.
And
I don't have a disdain for butter or cream cheese. I think, you know, those are representable, you know, pieces of condiments. But I would just rather go with a spinach wrap.
It's honestly, it might be your, and you've had some horrendous takes in the past. This might be the worst take you've ever had. You would go, now in the spinach wrap is what? Like egg whites?
No. It's scrambled eggs and turkey sausages.
Which is fine. But to say that you'd go in that direction over a toasted bagel. With butter.
We just differ. It doesn't make me...
No, it's just a bad take.
Okay. Well, it would describe why you look the way you do. I mean, you should go in the direction of eating spinach wraps.
First of all, I look incredible. All right? I'm not at 198, but I'm like hovering in the 204, and I'm taking weight off as we speak.
204 is still pretty big.
No. In fact, to the point where we went to our friends last night, and they said, I walked in, like, you look great. Yeah, thank you. I know.
You didn't say, yeah, thank you. You had them repeat it. Oh, what looks great about it? Do you really think?
I mean, because that's the type of person. It falls on deaf ears. Like, I hear it all. You look so good. You look so terrific. Thank you. I get it. I understand. I appreciate it. All right. But the fact that you're choosing these spinach wraps says a lot about you. And I don't appreciate the shot you took at me.
Listen,
the way you look, you should be eating spinach.
You should get it all the time, right? You're out with your short shorts and, you know, what you got, muscle t-shirts
well,
on with no muscles?
I'm not wearing Celtic shorts from 1984, but yeah, I'm all shorts until this pandemic is done. That's my goal.
Do you have nice legs? Like, are you blessing people by at least giving them...
I would say that I'm looking at them right now. I would say at worst, it's an average leg.
So at worst, it's five out of ten.
And it's benign. At best, you're looking at it and saying, hey, that's a nice leg.
Okay. A nice leg? Or only looking at, you have only one leg showing?
Well, no, but I don't think nobody takes in both. You look at one, you've seen them both. It's not like one leg is going to look great and the other is going to be horrifically disfigured. I think you look at someone's leg and you're locked into, okay. It's like you see a twin. You don't need to see the next twin to know what they look like.
Dave, so you're laying on the beach.
A child walks by is a twin. You look at the child like, oh, that's a cute kid. You don't need the next twin to walk by to then confirm that that's a cute child. You know from the first kid that walks by.
First of all, it's a terrible analogy. Because
it's a brilliant analogy. If
you can't be without the other leg. But you're laying on the beach sipping a margarita and someone with nice legs walks by. You're going to say, oh, they have a nice leg?
I said, that's a nice leg. You could say that. I don't need to see both of them to look and say,
no,
those are beautiful legs.
You would say they have nice legs.
You
never
could.
Say,
you could go any way you want. You're missing the point. The point is, I have nice legs. At a minimum, you'd look at them and say, it's an average leg. Maximum, you'd look at them and say, sensational legs.
Okay.
I've never been asked to stop and can we analyze your legs? But I've never been told put on pants either.
I think you should tweet out a picture of your legs.
No, I don't think so. All right, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. Of course, Stump Rothenberg coming your way at 10:30 this morning. And can I give you a word of advice? Don't start with your calls now, please. Don't line up 20 minutes before, because I know what you guys do. You want to try to sneak in there and you want to be involved in Stump Rothenberg. Don't do it. Wait till 10:20 before you start making those calls. But let's kind of turn our attention to the Giants a little bit. And it feels like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it really feels like there's a lot more positivity when it comes to the Giants than the Jets right now for a couple of reasons. One, the Giants have a coach that I think you look at and you say to yourself, it's unknown, which in many ways is a positive over what Adam Gase is. You think he might be good. And they have real weapons on the offense. And I'm sorry, I keep going back to that and keep harping on it. They do. And again, I've never once have told you that I believe the Giants are a playoff caliber team. But it feels like they're heading in the right direction. Now, you can destroy the organization and Dave Gettleman. Because something happened this week that deserves and hasn't even gotten that much conversation. Can we take a minute here? You moved up in the draft. You moved up. You took Daniel Jones at 6. You know, should you have taken Josh Allen at 6 and the not the quarterback, the defensive end, taking him at 6 and then, you know, moved up and tried to take Daniel Jones at 12 or 13? Maybe. But you take Jones at 6. You take Lawrence at 17. And you're looking at just out of the park, home run. You know what? Now we're going to get the lockdown, this terrific corner out of Georgia. We have a second round pick. We're going to move back into the first round and take DeAndre Baker. And this is the one thing, not even that he's a bust. You know what? It happens all the time. Guys are busts. But that you didn't know. And what actually angers me about this is I talked to people before the draft who said they really like him, lot of red flags surrounding him. Before the draft. I mean, I have some connections, but I'm not Mel Kiper. Right, I'm not involved in the drafts where I know. People told me, multiple people, they really like him. Lot of red flags. The Giants move up and take him. He stinks year one, which is fine, understandable, and then does what he does during the pandemic, and Gettleman comes out and has the audacity to tell us, you know what? We didn't know. We didn't have. People told me, there were red flags about DeAndre Baker. and Gettleman and crew had no idea, shame on them. If I knew and they didn't, something is completely broken. So this is a big year for Gettleman. Not as much Judge. Same way with the Jets. Big year for Gaze, not as much Douglas. The Giants need to win some games for Dave Gettleman. Otherwise, your next GM will be the guy that Joe Judge wants it to be. But am I optimistic? Yeah. But I think every team is excited and optimistic right now. I think the Bengals are like, we got a quarterback. He loves Tyler Boyd. We have a new left tackle. A.J. Green comes back. Mixon signs a deal. He's a good run. Like, we should be bad. I don't think there's a lot of teams right now that look at their season and just think, oh, God, we're going to be bad. Maybe Washington. Maybe. But I think there's a lot of Washington fans right now. What do I say? Do I say a lot of football team fans? Is that the... I don't know how do I go about that. Because they're the Washington football team, right? I can't say a lot of football team fans. So I'll say a lot of Washington fans that look at them and say, Haskins is going to take that next step. We have a legitimate coach. Our defense should be better. I'm excited to see what we have in the rookie running back. McLaurin's a good receiver. Like, I don't think there's... We have the stud from Ohio State who's going to be getting to the quarterback, you know, day after day after day. I don't think there's a lot of teams that look at their team right now. A lot of fans that look at their team right now and say, oh, we're gonna stink. I think Cleveland looks at their team and says we're going to... Maybe Jacksonville, right? Maybe Jacksonville. But I don't think there's five. So am I optimistic about the Giants? Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic. Do I think almost every fan right now, the day before the season goes full bloom, looks at things and says, I'm optimistic about this? Yeah. I think most people... Most fans are optimistic about where their team is right now. Tennessee fans are. Colts fans are. I think Chargers fans are. New England fans are. Buffalo fans are. Miami fans are. Jacksonville's not. Maybe the Jets are not. But most fans are. John in Jersey. John, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, how's it going? How's it going?
Good. What's up, John?
So I have a kind of different perspective on the Giants, more in a positive way. Now, going back to last season, would you say that Pat Shurmur and his staff were probably a bottom two or three coaching staff in the NFL? That's a fair assessment?
Yeah, they were bad. I will give you that.
Okay, so I'm saying with that exact roster, and let's say just a middling 17, 16th best coaching staff.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I think their defense was really bad last year. Like, exceptionally bad.
Scheme, though.
No, I think talent, scheme, all of it was bad.
Well, all right. So if you can just give me a second to elaborate, what was the biggest problem with their defense? It was blown coverages left, right, and center.
Stunk. The secondary was abysmal. It might have been the worst secondary I've ever seen for the Giants.
Right. Okay. Exactly. But at the same time, you can't tell me that. I mean, listen, DeAndre Baker's gone, so it doesn't matter. He was the best cornerback in college football in his college career.
All right. He stunk last year for the Giants. I'll tell you that. Well, and I'm not blaming him, but he was not a good corner last year.
He wasn't a good corner, but at the same time, if the coaching staff was as atrocious as it's proved to be, then I don't know that the coaching staff didn't cost the Giants at least a game or two or maybe even three.
I don't agree with that. I mean,
you don't think that,
John? I think their defense stunk. I think if you had Bill Belichick running that defense, they were not a good defense.
I'm not saying that they would have been top five, top 10, top 15. I'm not suggesting that by any stretch. But I'm not. I don't think that was the case. I think they were still in a rebuilding mode at that point. All my point is, I think that the roster, even last year, was a little bit better than what their record suggested. And I think now, with listen, I know not everybody's high on Blake Martinez. The guy is the literal tackling king of the NFL.
Yeah, he's a good tackler. Right, Bradbury's a good corner. Peppers, exactly. If healthy, is a nice safety. They're not bereft of talent. Their defense is certainly more talented this year than it was last year.
Okay, so now you look at upgrade at the coaching staff with the scheme. You're looking at a guy who took the Miami Dolphins and was taking bartenders and Uber drivers.
John, our point here is, what do you think the Giants are going to win, eight games? Like, where ultimately you're going to wind up?
I think that the majority of our fan base is going to be pleasantly surprised with how good this team actually could be. Not saying playoffs, not saying Super Bowl. I just think that there's been a little bit of a disconnect with looking at the overall record last year and what the talent on the team actually has. you get some steps up from key players across
John,
this roster.
John, I got to tell you, I think if you look, and thanks for the call, if you looked up and down at the talent of the Giants last year, they're clearly in the bottom 10 of football. Clearly. Your offensive line was subpar. Your defense was one of the worst five in football. You just, if you have those two things before you even do anything else, you can't be good. So I don't think, and I don't love Shermer by any stretch, and didn't, but I can't look at the coaching staff and say, I'm going to give them all the blame. If you had a better coaching staff, that was a 7 or 8 win team. I don't believe that. I think the defense stunk. 800-919-3776. Ty, I might just go toast a bagel, put a little butter on it, and enjoy that during the next break. I just might do that.
Yeah, I think you should lay off of that and do some dieting. Maybe have
no. I'm
a
not.
Nice
I'm full. I'm actually full diet. I'm only kind of playing with you. But I will tell you this: you get a tweet from Ted Hines, PGA.
There we go.
Who's the assistant golf professional at Fresh Meadows Country Club?
Okay.
Which I believe is where my parents got married.
Oh wow! It all comes full circle here.
Yeah, and they, it would have been their 62nd wedding anniversary on Thursday of this week. It's a long time.
That is a long time.
Anyhow, Ted Hines, PGA, says, wrap with eggs and a protein. I don't know what and a protein means, but wrap with eggs and a protein over a bagel all day.
Maybe
I
mean, he meant a protein bar.
It doesn't say bar, it just says and a protein.
I said maybe that's what he meant.
Well, but that wasn't our conversation.
Yeah, he's just adding a little extra.
He's adding his own little
bit of an addendum.
Accoutrements to the wrap with eggs. There is no way you're going wrap with eggs over a beautifully toasted bagel with butter or cream cheese. There's no way.
One for Ty, zero for Dave.
You want to make a poll?
We can do it.
All right, pull it up. Wrap with eggs and a protein or a bagel with butter or cream cheese. It'll probably be 70-30 in my advantage.
Okay, we'll see. I'll put it out once we get to break.
Run it up the poll. All right, I mean, it's almost as if Ty D. Butler, our producer extraordinaire, has no concept of it's R.J. Bell, it's Vegas. We usually have Frank Sinatra. We come back and are joined by R.J. But, you know, Ty is all focused on other things and Anita's show coming up at noon. And quite frankly, it's disturbing, Ty, to be honest with you.
I think we'll live to see another day.
Well, I think in the next segment, we better hear some Francis Albert Sinatra. Let's bring him in. I mean, one of the greats. I heard him on the K Show. Thursday did a great job. He was on our show yesterday, 10 o'clock, did a great job. And now we get him for the full hour. Live from Las Vegas, my dear friend RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ. How are you?
It is good to be back. I can't lie. And I can't lie is I'm not a particularly empathetic person because if you're gambling, you're looking for edges, right? You don't think, I wonder why I'm going to beat this guy. You don't think, oh, maybe he had a tough childhood. You don't care. You just want to beat them.
Right.
And I think that it's good to be that way sometimes. Like the producer, maybe just give him 2 weeks off. Just say, hey, no pay, two weeks.
Just tell him, you know what, just we're not going to need your services for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and if you come back after two, we'll and all of a sudden, Belichickian might be the way to say it. How would you rate, what would Belichick do if he was telling an underling something and he says, well, we'll see. But you relax, Bill. You'll be okay.
Yeah, no, I think that a punishment certainly should endure from that. It was a grievous misstep. And on top of that, RJ, I felt an attitude upon his response. Like, I think you'll be okay. No, you know what?
Exactly. Own
it. You made a mistake. It's not what we do. It's not how we operate here. I'd say, you know what? You guys haven't been on the air in 6 months together. I kind of forgot as I brought him in. I would have been fine with that. But you know what? You'll be okay. I felt it was very dismissive.
When each generation attempts to supplant the one that came prior, the way they do it is they invalidate the basic premise of the difference. Oh, you think that matters? It doesn't, but you don't know that yet. You will soon. That was his tone. Did you hear it?
It was talking down to the both of us.
Well, he wasn't talking down to me.
Oh, he was. He
no,
says stuff
you
about
can't
you
talk down to
time,
someone that's not your boss. Right?
Well, I'm meaning not his boss. I mean, I'm really more of a coworker. Here's what I'll say, and here's what I'd like to do, and I have the games in front of me.
Well, you're not the boss?
I mean, in some manner.
I bet he's thinking right now, I wish I was getting Dave's check. That's all I know.
That's probably true, but I don't look at myself, because I'm a nice guy. I don't look at myself as a boss. I look at myself as a coworker.
Exactly, and that's why we heard the results.
Yeah, it's a valid point. Ty, what I'd like for you, and we'll get to RJ and all the games, and I have the games from Canty and your pick of the week and all that good stuff.
I'm anxious for this.
Is I'd like Ty just to come back on and just say, you know what? It was my mistake and it won't happen again. I think I'd appreciate that.
Listen, Dave, there are so many things that we want in life, we aspire to have, but certain times you just can't get them.
You hear this, RJ?
Oh.
Rather than just falling on the sword and admitting his mistake, honestly, if you played for Belichick, he'd probably cut you today.
You know what Bob Dylan would do here? Now, I'm a huge Dylan fan, right? I mean, just as big as you can get. He literally doesn't talk to any of his band members except his bassist, and his bassist manages the band. I saw him in 2003 at the Hard Rock. It was the opening of the Mandalay Bay. And he was so mad at the drummer. After the song, he went to the bassist and screamed at the bassist like for 2 minutes. And then the bassist walked over and talked to the drummer. And I'm like, now that's a manager that knows he's not a good manager. He's like, I can't even deal with this person. Now, I like Ty. That's his name, right? Ty?
Yeah.
I like it. He's a friendly guy. He's a smart guy. I think it's more you, Dave, not showing him the way of the world.
Yeah,
if Ty worked for me,
this conversation
it'd be a whole different story.
He'd
probably quit, but 90% chance he'd quit. But if he stayed, he'd be good.
All right. Speaking of good, your pick's exceptional. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you, and Canty aren't battling this year because I think that's always entertaining and fun. But he gave me his three picks of the week, and now you have to whittle it down to just your one favorite of these three, correct?
And this is what we're going to do. We're going to have two best bets combined, some of them. And we'll see the timing, but by this show Saturday, and it's going to be every week at 11 local here in New York, I'm going to have two picks. It's going to be the Canty RJ combo.
Right.
And my isolated RJ pick. And the difference is this, and it's a key concept. There's all kind of cliches like, if two people agree, one person's unnecessary. But there's truth to that in handicapping. So I've had guys at pregame.com that for like 10 years, they've been picking for me and with me. And I can tell you in any given game who they got maybe 85% of the time. I mean, not perfect.
Does it get you nervous? Serious question. Does it get you nervous if you like a game and someone that you really respect and think does a great job in this industry completely disagrees and goes in the other direction on a game? Like, do you hesitate? You're like, I have convictions and I don't even think about that.
Not even close. I am totally off that game so fast your head would spin. And here's why. The only exception would be if I understand why he's making the mistake. Whereas, what's the assumption of his pick? So, Dave, give me, what's your best bet for the week in the NFL?
Boy, you're putting me on the spot.
All right,
huh?
Well, because as you tell us this, I'm going to listen to it. And I actually respect your opinion.
Okay. My best bet, I really like Buffalo minus the 6.5.
Okay.
It's a brand new offensive line for the Jets. I think Buffalo is a much more talented team. I mean, they added new weapons, and Stephon Diggs, a terrific, talent. The Jets are without Jamal Adams. They're without C.J. Mosley. And I just believe in the coaching staff of Buffalo more than the Jets. So all those things. Home field, obviously not the same factor as it normally would be, but still a trip up to Buffalo. I really like the Bills minus 6.5 this week.
Okay, so let's assume for the sake of argument, I like the Jets. Now, I actually like the Bills here. But if I like the Jets, I would ask you, well, what do you think about Josh Allen? Because one of the reasons I would like the Jets would be, which I don't, but would be, oh my gosh, Josh Allen, everyone's talking about third year, he's going to step up. He didn't really step up last year. And if I thought that and I heard you say how optimistic you were about Josh Allen, then I'd be comfortable fading you. But if you're telling me things I hadn't thought of, or if you're telling me things that I don't have a strong opinion against, I'm thinking, maybe there's a point there. So that's where Canty comes in. Canty makes some of the smartest points of the week that I hear.
It's very combative between the two of you. It can tend towards uncomfortable
but
at times.
Dave, I think it's because of you instigating all the disagreement. Because let's be honest, Canty.
But isn't that what any good host does, is stir the pot?
Now, listen, again, that's everyone's got their own school. I try to help the audience have fun, enjoy their lives. And if a weekend producer suffers, then that's part of the, for the fans. You just want everyone to suffer. That's not how I think, but okay. But what I'll say is, Canty would never be able to beat me, so you put him in a no-win situation. What do you think a competitive guy is going to do? He's going to get upset. He's going to have his own staff monitoring.
Now, you say never beat you, RJ. No. 2 years ago, you wrote a handsome check to the charity of his choice.
That was one of the great flukes of all time, and let's be candid. It was – he gamed the – I mean, he was changing the rules every week. You remember that. And you were scared of him. And you know what? I'd be scared of him, too, without security if I was in the same room.
All right.
I have no doubt.
Here's his three games.
Yeah, let's do this because this will be – we can use the examples of this, and I will dismiss – some of his games I'm going to wave away like that's foolish. But if I don't do that, there's going to be something there.
All right, so here's his three games. Now, we welcome calls today as well, right? 800-919-3776.
Under certain
caveats. I look
at you
as a man of the people, a man
under
that
certain
enjoys
caveats.
The... Uh-oh, what's the caveat?
Well, you remember you coined the phrase, 11 words or less.
Yeah, so that's the way the whole show?
Oh, my God, what, we're going to let them go blah, 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 blah all show?
Well, what happens if they want to commend you for the job you do?
They
RJ,
do
I love you on the K-Show.
By Twitter.
I love you with Rothenberg. I love you with DCR. Like, I love you on all these shows, and then that's it. That's 11 words.
Yeah, and then call back.
So do that call back and then have your question.
Listen, Dave, I don't know what you've been doing when I've been here grinding, but I know I feel some bad habits have slipped in. One of our basic assumptions is the audience, if they could get paid to talk, they'd be paid to talk. So give them 11 words, and you have the right to say this guy or this gal's good.
Okay.
I'm going to give you
All
another
right. so
11.
So the genesis of the idea is that it's 11 words or less, and if you're sensational – then it may extend you past the 11 words. But the
we'll
phone lines
see how
are
many
open
people
regardless.
Meet that
800-919-3776. All right, are you ready?
Oh,
here's
for sure.
Here's Canty's three picks.
Let's go one at a time.
All right. Let me make sure that the spreads join up with what you have on pregame.com because he tends to adjust the spreads to his best.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Every edge.
All right, he's right with the first one. He's got Vikings -2.5 against the Packers he likes.
Now, I'm concerned about that. I wish I was here to ask, or he was here to ask him, is I'm concerned about the O-line because here's a Minnesota team. This line was 3.5. So you've seen – now, remember, home field advantage is going to be between 1.5 and 2. Typically, it's 3. So it's a situation where in the past I would have said, okay – you know, Minnesota not only has a normal home field, but they're better than normal. I mean, they got that dome and a big disadvantage not having that. So, but let's say the line should be around 2.5. You know, this is saying these are even teams. That's a lot of, you know, when you count home field, then that's a lot of faith in Green Bay. Dave, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that people are starting to be smarter in that they look at Green Bay and they realize 13-3 wasn't the truth of how good they were.
I think that's fair, yes.
But it seems like people go too far in the other direction.
All you're saying, RJ, is Minnesota has to win, right?
That's a scary way to look at it because if you look at the money line and say, let's say you were willing to just say that, you know, it's going to be like -125, -130. So
I understand that. But in my mind, and listen, you're the expert, I think at a spread of 2.5, you'd be silly to bet the money line.
Usually in the long run, it's going to equal out. But let me give you a game because I don't think – he doesn't have the Steeler game, does he?
He does.
Okay. All right.
He has the Giants +6 against the Steelers.
Okay. Let's segue to this game because this game is where the money line gets interesting. Now, why? I believe Pittsburgh is a high variance team. And that's a fancy way of saying they could be really good or relatively bad. Do you agree with that?
I think Pittsburgh is a great unknown right now, yes.
They could win 7 games. They could win 12 games.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we don't know what the quarterback's going to be like. Yes, I think there's a lot of question marks with Pittsburgh.
And in any given game, they could look as good as any team in the league or look like a bad team.
Yeah, especially game one. Yes.
Yeah, we don't know much about Big Ben. Remember, what we do know is last year, Big Ben looked horrible in game one against New England, and he looked horrible in the first half against Seattle. Then he got hurt. It's been 20 months since he looked good, and at his age. And he's taking a lot of hits. I'm a Steelers fan. I would say a lot of things about Big Ben. That's he's the toughest quarterback I've ever seen.
What? Wait, hang on. Can we get that drop? By the way, I could say a lot of things about Big Ben.
Yeah. What was you know, kind of like the Dally. Well, you know, Pastrami. Yeah, exactly. But he is tough as nails, right? And but he's taking a lot of hits. And I don't know. Thus, if you like the Giants, look at the money line. Because it's very possible they win that game. And usually, if a line's 7, 4, 2, it doesn't matter. You're not going to have any real opinion either way about why they might win or lose more than the line tells you. But the fact in the Pittsburgh Giants game, I think the Giants have a better chance to win than a typical 6-point dog, means if you did like the Giants, why not look at the money line? What do you think?
Listen, I think your analysis is interesting. I don't know. I'm really uncertain with this game because and you know what else you have to throw into the monkey wrench here, RJ? We have not seen the Giants at all. Like, it's a completely new offense. We have no idea what they're going to be like. It's a completely new coaching staff. So I would probably tend to stay away from this game. But I don't think your rationale is crazy that you'd go Giants with the money line.
And I guess what I'm saying is it's not so much I'm saying that. I'm saying if you like the Giants, now you've got to – it's almost like if you're going to go to this restaurant, you can either get the a la carte or the buffet. Doesn't mean you're going to go there. But if someone says, if you go, get the buffet, that's a different thing, right? Meaning if the given is you're going to take the Giants, how do you take them? +6 or – because Steelers could just roll and the 6 become meaningless. And I know that's the case in every game. Right. But I think it's just
more
of a case.
Like a 28-24 steal. See, here's what would upset me. If I went with the money line and the spread, and I like the Giants and the spread finished, you know, the number was 6 or less, I'd be very upset by that.
You know what the analogy is? And this is such a great mental model for a gambler to think about. Imagine you owned a casino, and imagine Friday night, the wife or girlfriend, the partner, whatever, says, hey, let's go out, relax, see a movie. You're like, no. Table number 28, I've been watching that for 3 nights. We're down on that table. I'm all upset. A casino owner has hundreds of revenue flows. He wants to make sure everything's operational. Then he looks at the end of the month or the end of the day, right? He looks at the aggregation of it, the overall view. Dave, you're going to bet, in theory, if you're a better, even if not a pro, but you're going to take it seriously, hundreds of games in a year, a calendar right. year. You can't, if you do the right play, trust the process. That's become such a cliche. You know why Henke, hashtag that? He understood it was going to take some time, but what kind of backlashed on him, people got so excited about that concept, they weren't qualified to understand. It takes years. I mean, in hindsight, and we can talk about how the Sixers have done in the last couple years, but in hindsight, don't you think Henke was amazingly validated that you took a team that was as bad as anyone, and now we're saying, oh, my God, you only made the playoffs? You stink.
Yeah, I don't think they've gotten to the expectation. But I want to put you on the spot. We got a break. So here's his games. Vikes -2.5 you got. Giants +6 you got. And he likes the Bucks +3.5 as well. Those are the three. Oh. So give us analysis quickly of the Bucks, and then which of those three is the one you'd go with?
Do we got to take a break? Because I'm going to tease something.
All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll tease it.
Here's the tease.
In the radio industry, RJ, there's something beautiful called the tease, where you say something which teases people, which brings them back on the other side. That's what we're going to do now. And when we come back on the other side, I imagine it'll
but
be
But do you
Francis.
Want a professional to tease, or do you, are you
no,
going to
no,
tease?
No, I'll do it. Francis Albert Sinatra on the other side from one Ty D. Butler.